John 5, The Politics of Bethesda. Jesus asked the man, "Do you want to be well?" The man said,
"Sure."
Jesus said, "Take up your bed and walk." So the guy did, and he had no idea God had just visited him. The Pharisees, who seem to be screening things, tell the guy,
"God, don't you know it is wrong to work on the Sabbath? What's the matter with you?"
The guy says,
"Well, the guy who made me well said to pick up my bed."
The Pharisees said with condescending exasperation,
"Do you do everything you're told? Who is this person who said, pick up your bed?"
The guy says,
"I don't know."
Later, the guy was in the temple. He evidently was not ignorant of who God was. He just didn't actually know him. And there he meets Jesus. Jesus gives him some advice. Then the guy goes and tells the Pharisees. He says,
"Looky, looky, right over there. That's the guy."
Then Jesus makes an incredible statement about working on the Sabbath. He says, verse 17, "My Father is working today, so I am working today." Oh, very upsetting. Jesus was a lot of things, but nice was not one of them. Nice is very subjective, you know. Okay, wait. The law says it's illegal to work on the Sabbath, but the Father works on the Sabbath. Jesus works on the Sabbath. Wait a minute. So if God didn't make the law, then who did? The law was more concerned with obeying the rules. Who cares if anyone got healed after 38 years of being incapacitated? Just keep the rules by all means. Following God's lead is far more important than being a good rule keeper, checking off all the performance accomplishments. Pray today. Check. Read my Bible today. Check. Went to church today. Check. Witnessed to someone. Check. Spent an hour with my spouse. Oh, how gracious of me. Check. Was nice to people at work, feeling piously benevolent about that one. Check. Didn't work on the Sabbath. Check. I should be okay, 'cause my list is checked off, right? But why is my job, my marriage, my relationship with my folks and kids, why does all that just seem kind of, I don't know, tilted? I'm doing the formula, and it's just not cutting it anymore. Oh, bother. What will we do? What will we do? I believe in every believer's life, at some point, doing the formula, pray, read, fellowship, tithe, pray, read, fellowship, tithe, is not enough. And there's nothing wrong with doing those 4 points, of course not. It's just that being good little legal beagles isn't enough. God wants a relationship, not just rule keepers. He doesn't want to do it for us, He wants to do it with us. Do you believe that your well-being is directly tied to your ability to be obedient? Now that's a pretty pokey question that I think is worth investigating within the heart of each one of us. So I'm going to say it again. Do you believe that your well-being is directly tied to your ability to be obedient? That means that when you get life wrong, you don't deserve to be well or do well. And when you get it right enough, now you are worthy of blessing and well-being. Ship's captains of 150 years ago used to have a phrase that everyone recognized as a command to come about to the given nautical heading. They would say,
come to.
Meaning to change your old heading to the new one. Maybe you don't exactly know who is gently knocking on the door of your heart. Maybe you think you do and it terrifies you. Maybe you think if you could get your life together, better things would go more smoothly, always reaching to be a little more obedient in hopes of a better result. Maybe some of that is generally true in the sense of just paying attention to the details, like washing your clothes, doing the dishes, or showing up for work. But thinking we can be obedient enough that God will give us what we want is another story. We must cease our mindset of giving to get, always needing a little bit more in order for you to be okay. Being a rule keeper may make us acceptable to our peers, but what if we did the right thing simply because it was the right thing, not because the rules said we should do the right thing? You know, people tend to mandate acting correctly and also feel the need to add a penalty at the end, like a threat to all rule breakers everywhere. The Pharisees of John 5 demanded the minions keep the rules and do what they were told. They made up rules the minions had to keep that they, themselves, had special excuses as to why they didn't have to keep the same rules.
Hypocrite.
On one hand, they demanded the man be obedient to their rules. But on the other hand, when the man obeyed God instead of keeping the rules, they wanted to know if he always did what he was told. Oh, so, I'm glad you do what you're told as long as I'm the one doing the telling. Otherwise, you're just disobedient. Church leaders set a standard tithe as 10%. But God moved that forward and said something so much bigger. He said, follow me, not keep the rules. Nor did he add a penalty afterwards saying, and if you don't, I'll make you pay. That's not what God said. Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostles answered,
we must obey God rather than men.
And Acts 4:19. But Peter and John answered them,
whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you decide.
Now, I didn't say don't respect authority. I am saying our ultimate responsibility is to God, first, with a continuous upward pointing to the sovereignty of God as a platform for where we plant our feet on the entire Word of God, not just the parts which support our agenda. What do you think? Thanks for listening. I'm Social Porter with Living in His Name Ministries.